All right, we're going to continue our study in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12 is where we're going to begin today. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. Today we're going to talk about spiritual muscle. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, and just so that I don't forget it. Last week we did not do a Sunday evening because of Mother's Day and being the first Sunday back and everything. So tonight we did schedule, or I did schedule a Sunday evening message, or Brother Michael scheduled it for me and got that in. So it will be available, I think, at 6 o'clock this evening if you'd like to view that online. But right now, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before you today to praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for the privilege of worship. We thank you, Lord, because you are just good all the time. And Lord, now we pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds. I pray you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would speak through me the message that you have prepared for all of us. And move freely, Lord. Convict of sin, drawing all men to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So tell me, do you want to be healthy? Yes, all right. We do great things, or we go to great extents to be healthy. I think everybody wants to be healthy. And so what do we do to be healthy? Well, one thing I do is exercise. Or I try to exercise. And the more I exercise, the thing I've noticed is the stronger I become. Makes sense, right? The stronger I become, the more I exercise, and it is a great result. You know, the more you exercise, the stronger you become. But there's a downside to it. The less I exercise, the weaker I become. You notice that? You know, if I miss one day and exercising, I say, "Oh, it's okay, I'll pick it up tomorrow." Then I miss 2 days exercising. Guess what that leads to? 3. I miss 3 days exercising. Guess where that leads? Well, if you're like me, it's like, "Well, I've come this far this week. I'll pick it up next week." Next week comes and Monday passes. I didn't get it done. Tuesday passes. I didn't get it done and I didn't get started. And first thing you know, I'm halfway through the week and I think, "Well, I'll start back next week." And it's been a month. First thing I know. After a month, I say, "Well, you know, someday I'm going to get back to getting my exercise and get back in shape." And guess when someday gets here? Never. As long as I can put it off and as long as I can look forward to one of these days, nothing ever gets done. And the more weight I gain, the more muscle I lose, and the weaker I become. I've wondered how this coronavirus crisis has affected us as a nation. All the gyms have been closed, and you know, people can't go to the gym anymore. And I can just imagine we become a nation who sits on the couch watching Netflix eating Oreos. Pretty good pastime, isn't it? But as we sit on the couch and eat our Oreos, one thing happens, and that is we lose muscle. We become less and less in shape. But we all have the mentality of, one of these days this crisis will be over, and I'm going to put the Oreos down, get off the couch, and get back to my exercise routine. Yeah. And here we are. They're still saying we're not entered into phase two yet, and there's a phase three, and then someday, and maybe in the fall there'll be a resurgence. And you know, I've just about had my fill. I'll be honest with you. And so what I do is, I just exercise anyway. I exercise around the house. I exercise by walking down the road. I've got a different exercise program right now. But you know, there's a great spiritual truth to what I just shared with you. The danger that we face today is this. We've gone several weeks where we didn't even meet as a church. Okay? Nobody's fault. We're not backing up and pointing fingers. This isn't political or anything like that. But we've gone several weeks without meeting. The first Sunday, we were really encouraged as the numbers came back, and we noticed that people were watching online that first Sunday. Second Sunday, guess what happened? Went down just a little bit. Third Sunday, guess what happened? Went down significantly. Fourth Sunday, went down even more and more and more, until now there's not that many people watching online. You say, well, now we're meeting, but I'm talking about before we started meeting. And I got to thinking, you know, spiritually speaking, I fear that we're becoming Christians sitting on the couch eating Oreos waiting for the danger to pass so we can get back to business. That's the danger. There's no time. I mean, just because the government says, okay, this is closed and that's closed, it does not mean that my faith ceases. It does not mean that I stop ministering. Because here's the deal. One day, we're going to wake up and we're going to decide, spiritually speaking, I've become fat and lazy. That's not where we want to go. That's what the writer of Hebrews is telling us to combat. He said, strengthen the hands that hang down. What he's talking about there are hands that just hang to the side and are weak due to a lack of use. When I don't use my arms, guess what happens to them? They get weaker and weaker. The older I become, the one thing I notice is that I don't have the muscle that I had when I was younger. The simple things are hard to do anymore. You might can relate to that. For example, if you say, Brother Doug, let's sit in the floor. You know what Brother Doug's going to do? He's going to look at the floor, and then he's going to look at you and say, why are we going to sit in the floor? Because I've got to have a pretty good reason that I'm going to get in that floor. Because the reason is this. It's harder than it used to be. When I was 21 years old, I'd have jumped down there, jumped up, jumped down there, jumped up, and you'd have never thought anything about it. But now, for me to get in the floor, I've got to groan. It goes, ugh. For me to get out of the floor, I go, ugh. So it requires a lot more effort. But you know what I have really discovered? The less I do it, the worse it gets. A lot of my problem has been brought on by myself because I don't do those things anymore. I don't get in the floor. I mean, there's basically one reason I get in the floor, and that's to play with grandkids. Otherwise, you're just out of luck, almost. But I have discovered the more that I go back to doing the old things that I used to do, the easier it becomes because I build my muscles to do those tasks. Listen, folks, this is unprecedented times that we're living in today. As I said before, we haven't met as much. We went for weeks without meeting. And even now, we're only meeting on Sunday mornings. We're not meeting on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And we've scaled back a lot of our ministries. Awana closed up early. No Sunday school. And a lot of our seniors and youth ministries that were going on are just not happening right now. But the danger is this. The longer we go without spiritual activity, the weaker you will become. Let me clarify that. That wasn't a political statement. The longer you go without spiritual activity, the weaker you will become. Okay? What I'm trying to get across is, for the things that we have set aside for the moment, you've got to replace. You must replace. For example, we're not doing Sunday morning Bible study. Are you doing Bible study at home? You've still got to feed your soul from the Word of God. What about worship? We're worshiping now one time a week, and I hope really, really soon that changes, that we go back to a normal schedule. But right now, we're just worshiping one time a week. Are you worshiping somewhere else? Are you worshiping at home? Are you worshiping by yourself? Did you know you can worship when you're on a lawnmower? Did it a little bit yesterday, to tell you the truth. You can worship when you're by yourself at home in your office. You can worship wherever you are, but don't, just because we've curtailed our worship services, do not stop worshiping, because your spiritual muscle requires you to worship. Your development depends on it. Your ministry. What was your ministry before we backed off? What is your ministry while we're going through this process? You've still got to minister. Otherwise, you're that cat that's sitting on the couch eating Oreos waiting for this to end. You see, here's the danger. Very soon, very soon, Lord willing, we're going to go back to a regular service, to a regular schedule. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, ministries are going to happen. But when that happens, if you spent 2 months sitting on the couch doing nothing, you know what's going to happen the first Sunday morning that we have Sunday school? You're going to wake up and you're going to say, I haven't done that for 2 months. It requires a little extra effort. It's hard for me to get up. You know, I've missed the last 2 months. I think I'll just miss today. You watch. That's what happens. The less you use those spiritual muscles, the harder it becomes to use them. You see, before, you were used to coming to Sunday morning Bible study. If you don't keep that Bible study going right now, while we're not having those services, you're going to have real trouble getting up that first Sunday morning to be here. And listen, this preacher challenges you. When we open up for Sunday school, you need to be here. I'm not talking about those who have issues or, you know, health risks. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just because you've gained a little weight, spiritually speaking, and don't want to get off the couch and come on to Sunday school, is no reason not to do it. Okay? Very soon, we're going to resume choir practice. Guess what Brother Dale wants? He wants the choir full. Are you ready? Amen, Brother Dale? He wants the choir full. Very soon, we're going to resume our youth ministry, senior ministries, Awana, and many people, you know, they're going to back up and say, you know, I hadn't done that stuff in a long time. I think I'll just quit. I like where I am. No, you're getting fat and lazy, and you do not look good spiritually. Okay? The challenge is, this isn't accusation. This preacher, I'm not sitting up pointing fingers. That's not it. I'm warning you of the danger of the position that we're in. You need to understand that we may eat Oreos on the couch physically, but we can't afford to do it spiritually. Exercise your spiritual muscles right here, right now, today, day in and day out, so that when the Lord opens the door of opportunity, you're ready to roll. You got to not only strengthen the hands that have hung down immobile and been weak from lack of use, you got to strengthen the knees that are feeble. And that word feeble, it means paralyzed knees. Knees that won't bend. Once again, he speaks of knees that have become stiff because they haven't been bent. And that's a major problem when a knee won't bend. Have you ever tried to walk without bending your knee? Maybe you can, but it sure looks funny. You kind of look like Gumby. and you don't get very far very fast. You see, your mobility depends on the bending of the knee. When that knee stops bending, as a matter of fact, it's so important, they'll do knee replacement surgery on you so you can bend that knee once again, because your daily operation depends so much on your knees bending. Spiritually speaking, what are we talking about when he said, strengthen the knees that are feeble? He's saying, strengthen the knees that haven't been bending. The bended knee, two symbols. Okay? Symbol number one. The bended knee of surrender. In Bible days, they would kneel before a king or a superior as a sign of submission and surrender. That's what it meant when you knelt. You meant, I'm surrendering to your will, O king. To whatever you want me to do, Lord, king, I'm at your discretion. It's complete, utter surrender. Same thing is true spiritually. When you surrender, you're saying, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll go whatever you want me to do, or go and be whatever you want me to be. See, surrender says, all that I have is yours. All that I am is yours, and I'm at your disposal anywhere, anytime, anything. Unfortunately, we have replaced that word surrender with commitment. We want to commit as church members. But there's a big difference in those two words. You see, commitment says, I'm going to dedicate myself to something. Surrender says, all I am is yours. Commitment says, I'm going to pick and choose what I dedicate myself to. Surrender says, Lord, whatever you want me to do. See the difference? We want to commit. We don't want to surrender. For example, we commit to Sunday morning worship. But when the church meets on Sunday evening, what do we say? Well, I didn't sign up for that. What's the problem? There's a surrender problem. You've committed to Sunday morning, but not Sunday evening. You say, when it comes to ministry, what the Lord has called you to do, what's your ministry? Have you surrendered that, Lord, I'll do whatever? What if the Lord called you to be a missionary? The difference between commitment and surrender, Lord, I'll serve in your church, but I didn't sign up to be a missionary. That's commitment. Commitment is, or surrender is, Lord, here am I, send me. Anything, anytime, anywhere. See, surrender, we completely relinquish control. We bow our knee and says, Lord, I'm yours. And you have the right to do with me as you see fit. That's what surrender is, and that's what's missing in most of the churches today. We want to pick and choose. Well, I want to work with the youth, but I don't want to work with the seniors. I want to sing in the choir. I don't want to sing in the choir. Listen, lay aside your works and say, here am I, Lord. All that I am is yours. I surrender wherever you lead. And you know what? That's why when pastors, you know, they say you surrender to preach, because you got to come to grips with that as a pastor. That maybe the Lord will send you to the other side of the country or the other side of the world. You don't know. But as a minister of the gospel, you say, here am I, Lord, send me. Well, I want to tell you, the pastors should not be the only ones surrendering in the world today. That's required of every servant of God. So when he says, restore those bended knees, he's saying, surrender. Renew your surrender. Second thing the bended knee represents, the bended knee of prayer. If there's one thing that we should exercise every day, multiple times a day, it's prayer. It's probably one of the most important things that a child of God can do. See, most people want just prayer before a meal, or prayer at bedtime, or prayer, Lord, I'm in trouble, get me out of here. But listen, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 challenges us to that bended knee of prayer, as Paul wrote, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He said, pray with all prayer. What is he talking about? It means pray about everything. Everything. If there's ever a time that we needed prayer, it's today. I look at the President of the United States. If you like him, that's good. If you don't like him, that's fine. But one thing I do know, that man needs our prayers. I look at the leaders of our state and Governor Hutchinson. And I look at him, and you can like him or you can dislike him, but the fact is, he's the governor. He needs our prayers. I mean, we have plenty to pray about. Consider the crisis that we're in. Pray for an end for the crisis, or pray that the crisis will speedily bring the result that God has planned and allowed this crisis to come. Pray about everything. Do you have a need? Pray about it. Do you have decisions to make? Pray about it. Do you have a ministry that you need help with? Pray about it. You have kids? Pray about the kids. You have grandkids? Pray about them. Pray about everything. I've heard people say, well, Brother Doug, I don't know what to pray about. Listen. Pray about it. Everything, whatever it is. With all prayer. With all perseverance. Never stopping. Paul said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Communication is the key important of any relationship. You've got to communicate. Listen, I'm married to Beth. I don't go a week without talking to her. If I go a week without talking to her, y'all just know I'm in the doghouse. Something has went terribly, terribly wrong. I see her every day. I wake up, I say, good morning, dear. I love you. How are you this morning? Or something like that. Throughout the day, I'll converse with her. I'll ask her questions. I'll ask her, you know, is she doing okay? I'll tell her I love her. We just talk about everything. Sometimes we don't talk about anything. We're just together. You don't know, there's something about being together. You don't have to fill the air all the time with conversation. But sometimes we're just sitting at home. She's sitting in her recliner. I'm sitting in mine. And we're just together. But there's relationship there. Okay? Here's the point. You've got to have a relationship with God. And part of that relationship, a big portion of that relationship is prayer. Spending time with God. Do you ever pray and say, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. Speak to me, Lord. Do you realize you can have some quality time with God without saying very much? Lord, I just come and I just want to be with you. I just want to spend a few moments of quiet time with you. It's communication. It's relationship. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about the bended knee and a bended knee of prayer. He says, also pray for all saints. Look around. There's nobody in this auditorium this morning that would not appreciate your prayers. So if you run out of something to pray about, I'll tell you who you can pray about. You can pray about Brother Michael DeLuel and his family. Why? Because he needs your prayers. You can pray about Brother Anthony and Miss Beverly over here. You can pray for Dennis over here. And if you get all the front prayed for, look behind you. My point is, we got to spend time in prayer. Not as a I have to, but as a Lord, I just want to spend time with you. And lift my brethren and my sisters in Christ up before you. Oh, listen, the problem in many churches today, I fear, is a lack of that bended knee of surrender and a lack of that bended knee of prayer, and their relationship is just not there. All because we haven't used it. Then the writer of Hebrews says, and make straight the path for your lame feet. Make straight the path for your lame feet. It speaks of when it says feet, the feet and legs. It's the Hebrew word was one word, okay? And he's talking of legs are crippled. that are crippled. They're crippled from walking in places that should not have been walked in. Have you ever twisted your ankle? Why did you twist your ankle? Most of the time it's because you put your foot somewhere you didn't need to put your foot, right? There was a hole, loose gravel, whatever, and it caused you to sprain your ankle. My exercise program is walking. I love to walk. Or I like to walk. Let me rephrase that. I like to walk. You may, if you come by the church during the week, you may see me. Sometimes I'll walk around the parking lot of the church and back there by Tina's Gymnastics and make a big circle. And I'll do that. Sometimes I'll do that at church during the day if I want to just take a break. Sometimes I do it at home. See, at home, it's there. I have several hills that I can go up. And I've learned I really like those hills because at the top of those hills, I'm breathing hard. And I like to feel that out of breath, you know, feeling like I've done something. But one thing is, I'm pretty careful where I walk. I even walk on a treadmill when there's absolutely no other alternative. Don't really enjoy that as much as walking outside. But I'm careful. I want smooth, paved, good walking area. But tell you what, I do not walk on Interstate 40. Why? It's paved. Be a great walking track. Plenty of room. No, you say, Brother Doug, you'd be a dummy. You're right. Because if I walk on Interstate 40, sooner or later a truck or a car is going to run over me. It's not going to turn out well. That's the same concept here when he says, make straight the path for your feet. You see, the child of God, we've got to choose our path very carefully. We've got to be on top of our game and considering the direction we're going, because there are places you can go that will cripple you for the rest of your life, your testimony. There are places you can walk that will hurt the people that love you. There are places you can walk that will cause others to go and walk in the wrong places because they're following you. The funny thing is, we think it won't happen to us. Have you ever noticed? That's why we walk those paths that we should not walk. Because, oh, nothing's going to happen to me. Those things don't happen to me. People who think, I can be sexually active outside of marriage, and my wife will never find out. It'll not happen to me. You watch as your marriage falls apart, and you watch as your kids are scarred. You watch what it does to your life. And yes, it can happen to you when you walk down that road. Probably will happen to you when you walk down that road. People think they can use drugs. You know, and we're moving as a nation, you know, with the legalization of recreational marijuana. Oh, horse feather. You know, that's just, what are you, it won't, there's no harm in it. Baloney. Baloney. You think you can use recreational drugs, whatever those drugs are, and it not have an effect? Well, I'm just going to do it this one time. Yeah, right. Sin don't work that way. Heard a preacher say one time, sin's like potato chips, you can't have just one. You want more and more and more and more. Until you walk down that road long enough, and the first thing you know, you're stealing from your family so that you can pay your drug bill. First thing you know, you're arrested because you were stealing to buy drugs. Oh, Brother Doug, that'll never happen to me. Look at our jails. Do you know the number one cause of being imprisoned in the country is drugs? You take drugs away, you'd empty our jails. You say, well, they weren't arrested for drugs. No, it's because the drugs made them do other things. Okay? What I want you to get, how important it is to choose your path, because you will wreck your legs. You ever blown out a knee? Oh, you feel the effects of that for years. listen. All these things I've shared with you. The hanging hands. We've got to get back to ministry. We've got to be using our we're the hands of Jesus, and we've got to be the hands of Jesus even when we're not meeting as a church as we normally do. Why? Because we're going to start again. We're going to fire up and we're going to go full board. You need to be ready. We need to be sensitive to bending our knees. Lord, anytime, any place, anything. Bending our knees in prayer, spending that quality time. And then finally, we need to make straight our paths. We need to be sure we're on the right road. I want to tell you something about roads. The wonderful thing about roads is when you get on the wrong one, you can always get off because there's an exit. You may be here today and you know some of these things that I've brought up, and you think, oh man, that's me. That's me. Well, listen, I'll be honest with you. I had to preach this to me before I could preach it to y'all. And there are some things in there I realized, hey, I've got to work on. I've got to do better. But the wonderful thing about paths is, as I said, you can always take a new road. There's an exit. Okay? Going down the interstate, you won't go too far before there's an exit. You can change directions. Turn around. You know, take that exit, turn around, go back the other way. It's called repentance in Bible language. Sometimes we realize, hey, it's time for a change. That's where I want to challenge you today. Is it time for a change? Where are you failing? Where are you being that person sitting on the couch eating your spiritual Oreos and doing absolutely nothing? What are you not doing today that you were doing 6 months ago? What are you doing that's weakening your spiritual life? Well, today, my friends, it's time for us to renew our surrender. Not our commitment, our surrender. Lord, anytime, any place, anything. We're going to have a verse of invitation to give you the opportunity. If you need to bow before the Lord, this altar will be open. If you need to talk to myself or any of the other pastors here, we'll be here and we'll be glad to share with you. Most importantly, if you're not saved, you need to be saved today. Where are you going? Where are you going to spend eternity? Jesus gave His life on Calvary so that you could have eternal life. And now He offers that salvation freely to you today, to whoever will call on the name of the Lord. If you need to be saved, will you come in this invitation? Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that today we're reminded that this is no time that we need to take a break or quit serving, but rather, Lord, we should be on fire and more diligent and more surrendered than we've ever been before. For we know that the day is drawing near when You're coming. Lord, I pray that You will stir our hearts, that You will rekindle the fire within us, that we may be surrendered and walking the path that You've called us to walk. Now we pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.